so I'm going to do the scripture reading again. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Not that you really were asked, but I'm enjoying it. So the scripture reading today is Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. And it's in your hymn, or your pew Bible at page 1821, if you'd like to follow along. I am reading from the English Standard Version. It's about the new life. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and you are taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I think she she's becoming the better half of this relationship, for sure. That's the first time I've heard you sing, and to sing with your sister, wow, thank you. That was wonderful. I'm with Jim. You notice when Jim leads worship music, he stands like 6 feet, you know, back from the... And there's a reason for that, because Jim and I sing very much alike. So, again, you're definitely my better half there, for sure. Well, thank you for tolerating me yet another Sunday. You can blame Joe for that. They are doing very, very well relaxing, from what I understand, which is great. They message me every once in a while and let me know how they're doing. And they're doing well. He's going to be off again next week. And I'm available for emergencies, I see in the bulletin. I don't know who said that, but I agreed to it. So anyway, be more than happy to function in that capacity. Well, this morning I am going to be speaking once again on complacency, part two. The devil's workshop, and I really believe that one of the most powerful tools that Satan has in his toolbox is complacency, I believe. You know, it's one thing to be kind of in your face about sin and so forth, and God does that throughout the scripture, but complacency is kind of one of those passive, kind of sneaks up on you a little bit, right? And so, it's like that cat that we talked about last week, and it was at 1 Peter 5:8, where the cat is just, you know, right? I mean, it's not one of these in your, I'm going to, you know, cat waltzes up to a mouse and says, I'm going to eat you, right? It's one of those things that kind of sneak up on you. And so, last week, if you recall, I challenged all of us, myself included, Deb included, which we'll talk about in a moment, But I challenged all of us to take a look at the possibility of some, I put it a little bit stronger than that, I think, the complacency in all of our lives. And for you to look for some complacency in your life since last week. And I would like to just open it up here for a moment. I know you are all, I always call you the chosen frozen, and I'm always trying to thaw you out a little bit. Anybody have any examples of complacency and willing to share them, that you saw in your life this past week? I'm going to share an example, so, okay, go ahead, Jim. Yep.
And we talked a little bit after church. Then when we went out to the car and started driving home, my mind immediately went to, what are we going to have to go real fast so that I can get out from something outside?
Yeah.
And it didn't take long.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yep.
And God says, the sack of holy books. During the week, you've got me.
Thank you, Jim, for being vulnerable and acknowledging that. Anybody else? You're scared, huh? Yeah. Did anybody, when you were looking for complacency in your life, you didn't find any? Anybody? I'm looking for a hand because I want to say that's what denial looks like, you know? Yeah, because complacency is in all of our lives. And it doesn't matter whether you admit it this morning, right? It's between you and God. It's between myself and God, right? And we boogered out early last week, as you all know. I had the privilege of baptizing my neighbor, who I led to Christ about a year ago. And I didn't get very far without tearing up and getting all emotional. What an honor, what a privilege. But thank you for excusing me early last week. And so after that, we went to the baptism, baptized him and so forth. And Deb and I drove back to the house, and we didn't get out of the car. We just started talking. And Deb said to me, you know, after the message this morning, God really, on complacency, God really started to convict me. And I said, yeah. I said, I know what you mean. And if you think, okay, for one moment, that when I speak, I'm exempt from whatever I say, I am not. In fact, God convicts me probably more so when I speak than when oh my. Swipe up to answer. I don't want to do that. Okay. That's why I brought the hammer. Yeah. I am so technically challenged. I don't know why. Anyway. So back to God really. See, that's Satan right there, right? He's easy to distract, see? And so anyway, I said to Dad, I know exactly what you mean. And yes. How do I turn this off? I don't really know. You know what? That's probably Jeff calling me. That's probably what that is. He's always rattling my cage. He's out there. I know he's out there. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Jeff, despite you trying to distract me, Deb and I started talking, and again, I said, yes, I know what you mean. I was deeply convicted, and she said, well, you know, we've been kind of complacent in our relationship, and, you know, I'm there, yeah, you know, and she said, I just can't justify this anymore, you know, coming to your house and staying at the house and things of that nature. And even though we were very much trying to bring glory to God and so forth, she was deeply convicted about it, and so was I. And so she said, so I'm not going to be coming to your house any longer. And I said, what? And she said, well, you know, I really, you know, and the wedding's about a month off and so forth. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time, you know. And so anyway, I said, well, I totally understand and respect where you're coming from. And then I really felt convicted about not being a stronger leader than I was. And I felt really convicted about speaking about complacency last week, and here it is in my own life. But I did ask God to show me and to convict me as well. And so I said to her, I said, so how important is a wedding ceremony to you? And she said, well, not very, you know, it's just a ceremony and so forth. And so I said, well, are you ready to marry me? And she said, yeah, I'm ready. I said, well, what do you say we get married in the next day or two? And she said, with tears in her eyes, I think, yeah, that would be wonderful. And so Deb and I are now married. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You don't have to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And so complacency in our lives is just so, what shall I say, so prevalent. And in the scripture this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32, it talks about putting off and putting on. Now, what do we want to put off? It talks about putting off the old self and the new self. And I don't know about you, but there are many times in Scripture where Paul talks about this very thing, the old self, the new self, or, you know, the bride of Christ, and then he starts talking about the church. And following Paul and being a professional counselor like I've been all my life pretty much, I think about, wow, Paul must have been schizophrenic. You know what that means? Well, he's this person over here, and then he's completely somebody else over here. And that's what this old self and new self looks like. And the Bible talks about, or theology talks about, two natures. And I want to say to you that, you know, we just celebrated Easter not too awful long ago, and there was only one person on the face of the earth that had two natures. And who was that? That was Jesus, yeah. He was 100% man. And he was 100% God. Who here is 100% man? Yeah, very good. All right, Jeff. Okay. Now, who here is 100% God? Well, I'm glad I don't see any hands. And thank you for not beeping, Jeff. Right? Yeah, we only have but one nature. One nature. You understand that? And what is that nature? That nature is that we're sinners through and through, to the core. John Calvin, who we all love because of his Reformed theology, right? He calls us totally depraved. And we are. We're totally depraved. And so we have this old self. And if we're not paying attention, if we're not watchful, if we're not vigilant, what's going to happen? This old nature is going to define us. Okay? Through all of these things, anger, stealing, lying, bitterness, malice, greed, and there's a whole list in the passage that we read. But put on the new self. Now that's a task, isn't it? And that's an ing thing. I was talking with Jim about ing and ed, right? Ing, what I mean is, ing is a process. It's a process. And you're all a work in under construction, as I am. It's a process, see? And this is something that we have to be practicing each and every day. And how are we going to do that? By being watchful, right? When we leave the church and we're going home and we're thinking about dinner, are we watchful? Are we vigilant in putting on the new self? What is that new self? Truth, kindness, love, giving, forgiving, righteousness, holiness, right? All of those kinds. And if we're not vigilant, if we're not watchful, then guess what happens? We're going to default because we have but one nature. And that one nature is to sin. And not all this is in my notes, you cheaters that read the message before you came, right? So this will encourage you to come to the real thing, right? But one of the things that I want to say to you is, you know, I love the kind of prayers that we read. And I pray that, again, we're not complacent when we read those prayers. Very easy to do that, you know, right? But the prayer that we read earlier this morning is a prayer of confession. And I didn't prepare to say this morning, which again is an advertisement to be here for the real thing instead of reading the message online or something. Okay? But if I were to erase all this, which I guess I can't because I don't have an eraser. Confession is one thing. You understand that? Confession is one thing. To confess, that's okay, brother. That's okay. That's all right. Thank you. Jim is such a servant. You know, I appreciate you, buddy. I really do. You're such a servant. Confession is what? What is it by definition? Do you know what it is? Confession means to agree with. That's what confession means. To agree with. Well, what are we agreeing with? We're agreeing with God that our sin is sin, that we do lie. Yeah, God, I agree, right? That we do get angry, right? I agree, but I'm going to tell you something. That is not enough. That is not enough. As a counselor, we had group counseling sessions and so forth. Groups that would gather together. And I hated them. And you know why? Because everybody would, and I really didn't want to do them. I did very little, very few of those groups. Because what happens is they get and they share what happened last week. Well, you know, I did this and I, you know, and then they would leave. And guess what? They do it again. And you know why? Because they confessed. They said it in front of everybody. And don't get me wrong, that's helpful. Okay? But it's not enough, guys, gals, people of God. Not enough. It's about repentance. Change, in other words. And change is an ing thing. It's ongoing. And every week, I hope And I would challenge you that when we walk out of here, that we are going to be changing. ING. We're going to be changing. We're not only going to agree with God that we're complacent and identify what the complacency is, but that we are changing. We're Deb and I. And you know, that's really what it's all about. I wanted to repent. I wanted to change. And so I said, you know what? Let's get married. We'll change this real quick. Okay? We'll change this. I'm going to do something about it. It's more than just being convicted and agreeing, right? It's about changing it. And boy, did I make a big change in my life this last week. You did too, so. Right? And I'm glad to stand here as an example this morning to you. That even though I was preaching last week and so forth, I was not a good example to you. But here's the good news. We can repent. We can change. And we can ask God to forgive us and move on. Putting on the new self, right? Which is being renewed, as the scripture says. Renewed each and every day. Right? And then it goes on to say, and I don't believe I've ever heard a message on this. So, you know, I want to bring it to our attention this morning. You know, it's one thing to talk about anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, and bitterness and resentment and greed. And, you know, those are, again, obvious things. But then it goes on to say, put off the things, the unwholesome talk. I didn't say this. Don't be throwing eggs at me. Right? Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, said, guys, gals, people of God, what's coming out of your mouth? Any, listen to this now, any, it says, read it, it's right there, any unwholesome word. Any unwholesome word that comes out of your mouth. And boy, you know, it used to be, when I was a young man, I'm an older man now, but when I was a young man, man, I didn't so much as say the least little bit of word that sounded the least bit unwholesome. Man, I was very vigilant and watchful about that. And then as I got married and life went on and we had kids and, you know, and I was a carpenter and, you know, I would I always had a hammer, right? What happens when I do this? And I got a nail, you can't quite see it, but it was black for about 2 months and it's just now replacing itself. And boy, did that hurt. As I was hammering, and I missed and hit the wrong nail. And I am proud to say that I didn't blurt out what I ordinarily would have said. And how many of us do that without even thinking about it? Without even thinking about it. Now, we're all pretty good, I think, or we should be, about taking the Lord's name in vain. Because that's an easy one, right? That's a Ten Commandment. And we don't break Ten Commandments, right? Right? But what about what comes out of our mouth that maybe isn't taking the Lord's name in vain? Boy, there's never been a time, I don't think, where I've run into more and more Christian people. Pastors. Yeah. Pastors. Leaders. Strong leaders. And I get to hang out with some of them sometimes. And boy, some of the things that they say, I'm shocked. Did you really say the S word? And you all know what I mean when I say the F word, right? None of us ever say that, right? Or the P word, right? And all of these words, right? And somehow we have given ourselves permission. Are you listening? We've given ourselves permission to do that. What? Complacency. Complacency. Right? And we're giving ourselves permission to do that. Really. And then it talks about anger. Right? Don't let the sun go down. We've heard that in many, many sermons. But you know what? You show me a person that curses, and I will show you an angry person. As a counselor, they go hand in hand. If you got a potty mouth, you're an angry person. I guarantee you that. They go hand in hand. See? And that's what complacency does. It lulls us. It lulls us into places that we never, ever thought we would go or be. God help us. God help us. We are people of God. We heard the scripture read. This is the word of God for. And then what do we say? Do you mean that? Do you mean that? What kind of change is going to occur in your life as you leave these doors today? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will continue to be not only convicting us, and that we would not only confess, but that we would change. To put on the new self, to become more like Jesus. Because we are little Christians. Might we live out who we call ourselves to be, who you call us to be. We thank you for your word, for the people of God. And we believe it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.